The words of God given to us today are from Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136. It is page 895 in the Old Testament. The words of God given to us today are from Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136. I will read the words. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do, to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Amen. The psalmist of Psalm 119, with everything in his heart, held on to the words of God because it was amazingly wonderful. He kept them using the last ounce of his spiritual energy. And he could not help but love the word, as the light of the word brought understanding to those who are slow in understanding. The psalmist's response of awe and longing for the word were possible because the psalmist loved God. Verse 132 reveals the state of the heart of the psalmist. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Love your name does not mean only that one simply loves the name itself, but that one loves the person who is called by that name. A name represents the existence and the integrity of the person who is called by the name. Therefore, for one to say that one loves the name of the Lord means that the person loves the character, the works, and the words of the Lord. If this is so, who might be a person who loves the name of the Lord? The psalmist, speaking of such a person, does not refer to a third person. He includes himself in that statement. The psalmist held fast to the word with the last ounce of his spiritual energy because they are wonderful. He panted not to lose the word because he longed for them. He was able to do so because he loved the character, the works, and the words of God. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1, Moses teaches us what kind of a person who loves God ought to be. Love the Lord your God. Keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. A person who loves the name of God, the person who loves God, the subject of that name is someone who keeps the word. Leviticus chapter 11 testifies to the blessing which is received by one who keeps to the words of God. If we were to summarize it, it is that if we keep the word of God, God will protect us. What does the psalmist, who surely knew this, ask for? He asks for grace. The psalmist asks for grace, as you always do. The Hebrew word for as you always do is kemishpat. This is a word made up of ke, a prepositional word that means like something or according to something. And the word mishpat, which means justice, judgment, or laws. The word mishpat that is equivalent to the word just, which was featured in the prior text, which stated, I have done what is righteous and just. So if we were to literally translate kemishpat, it would mean righteously or according to the word. And if we were to apply this understanding in reading verse 132, it would mean, turn to me and have mercy on me according to your word to those who love your name. So what would have mercy on me according to your word mean? It is asking for God to give blessing, the same blessing that Deuteronomy speaks of to those who love the name of God. And the psalmist inserted the phrase, turn to me, between the words, mercy on me, and as you always do. The original meaning of the words, turn to, means one's heart has shifted focus to something. If God's heart were to focus on a person, what would happen to that person? He or she must surely be restored and saved. That God turning towards me, that his attention shifts and focuses on me, is the very mercy of God. Therefore, the words turn to me has the meaning of grant me mercy. Therefore, if we were to reflect this in our reading of the verse, turn to me and have mercy on me, we see that it means have mercy on me and have mercy on me. We see the ardent desire of the psalmist who repeatedly asks for God's mercy. Then what would be the mercy that the psalmist is seeking? The word mercy, which is quoted in the verse, is a translation of the Hebrew word is hanen. The representative Hebrew word in the Bible that is translated as grace or mercy is hesed. Hesed is translated as loving kindness, but is also translated as mercy. But in today's verse, the word hanan is used instead of the word hesed. The two words have similar meaning. It connotes receiving something due to God's active love and sovereign mercy, rather than receiving something because of a person's efforts or achievements. When do we ask God for his mercy? In what situations do we see the grace of God, do we seek the grace of God, like the psalmist? If we were to look at examples, a word, this word, hanan, is used in the Bible, we can know when a person asks God for mercy. Actually, we can imagine situations where we would do so without talking about examples in the Bible. The reason is that the times that characters in the Bible asked God for mercy is not too different from the times when we ask for God's mercy. The most common situation when we ask for God's mercy is when we are in a desperate situation. When Joseph went to see his brothers, to see if his brothers were doing their job of shepherding lambs, sheep, upon his father's instruction, his brothers tried to kill him upon seeing him. Although Joseph was not murdered, he was sold to a merchant by his brothers. Years passed, and Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. And later, when the brothers were accused of being spies upon having gone to Egypt to get food during the years of famine, they looked back and said the following, Surely we're being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. Here, the word pleaded is a translation of word hanan. If someone among us is pleading with God for mercy in the same way that Joseph pleaded with his brothers, he was when he was threatened by them, it's certain that the person has run into great trouble like Joseph. David also sought God's mercy many times. There was a time when David asked for God's mercy when his child, who was just born, was dying. David prayed at this time for God to have pity on him. David's prayer for God to have pity on him is Hanan. When we pray to God to have pity on us, we are in a desperate need of God's mercy, as if our very life is being threatened. Another situation in which we seek God's mercy is when we genuinely want something, even though our life may not be threatened. When Moses ended 40 years in the desert, having called by God to lead his people, he prayed from the eastern side of Jordan River. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25 testifies to the prayer Moses offered at that time. Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon. Wouldn't Moses, who spent 40 years in the desert after leaving Egypt, naturally want to enter the land promised by God, the land he so longed to see? Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 tells us of how he longed to do so. At that time, I pleaded with the Lord. When this prayer was offered, Moses was at the eastern side of Jordan River. Moses pleaded with the Lord. And this pleading is Hanan. Moses pleaded with God to have mercy on him. If we visited a far off place when it was difficult for us to spare time to do so, and the door to that place is closed, what will we do? Or what if we went to a hospital, a military station far away to visit a family member, but the entrance is denied? What will we do? Wouldn't we try everything to get permission from the responsible person? Moses had walked 40 years in the desert, is now standing before the ultimate destination. And those of you who know about Jordan River may already know this, but the river is not that wide. During the dry season, it is very easy to get across, just like Hongjiechan or Pugwangchan in Mapo. It is called a river, but it is more like a small stream. But God would not allow Moses to go across. And Moses pleaded for God's mercy. We, too, at times seek for God's mercy, although we know it is not something that God will allow. And if we do not know whether God would allow it or not, we pray all the more ardently about what we want. Have mercy on me. When people ask for God's mercy, oftentimes. It is to ask that they be spared from hardship that is almost killing them, or when they want something desperately. When we look at verse 134, the psalmist also prays, "Redeem me from human oppression." But what is noteworthy is that the psalmist did not ask for mercy solely for his life to be spared. We can know this by looking at his confessions that precedes and follows this request for mercy. The first verse we want to turn to is verse 133, which follows his request. "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." The grace that the psalmist is seeking from God is for God to direct his footsteps according to God's word so that no sin will rule over him. When we read chapter 3 of 1 Kings, God appeared to Solomon when he had offered 1,000 sacrifices. When God appeared to him and God told Solomon to make a request, Solomon did not ask for riches or glory, but wisdom. If we look at chapter 8 of 1 Kings, we see Solomon's prayer and blessings for his people. In his prayer and blessing, Solomon did not seek riches or glory for himself, but asked that his people stand strong in the word, not falling into sinning, and receive blessings from God. Solomon also testified that the word of God's blessing and exhorted his people to obey the word. In 1 Kings 8:59, it is recorded that Solomon petitioned before God. And this word petition is a translation of the word Hanan. And what were God's response to Solomon who prayed for grace of the word? We can see from 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 4 to 5. "As for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of the heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David, your father, when I said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel.'" If we keep to the word, the places of our lives will become firmly established, like the throne of Solomon. The psalmist of Psalm 119, like Solomon, also asked for something special. The psalmist does not ask God that God take revenge on those who persecute him, nor does he ask for something that he desperately wants. He asks that his steps will not lead him to the way of sin, that he will only walk the path of the word so that he will not be shaken. If we establish our steps on the word of God, sin can never take hold of us. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 testifies to this. "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Being under grace means to be within the Lord, under the words of the law. A person who is under the grace of the Lord, a person who is firmly standing on the word of the God, will not be governed by sin. The psalmist was someone who knew what pleased God. After Adam, people have continuously rebelled against God and committed sin. The psalmist knew very well that it is always when a person wanders away from God's words that he or she commits sin. Grace of God, regardless of what it may be, is always precious. But the psalmist thought, more than any other grace, the mercy of God that would establish his steps on the word so that no sin will ever take control of him. We can confirm that he did not ask for God's mercy solely from the death threats from his persecutors in verse 134. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. We have already seen numerous times that this is not a conditional petition, where the redemption of God is a condition to obedience throughout Psalm 119. The psalm is someone who was already keeping God's words. Therefore, his confession in verse 134 should be understood as the psalm is saying, that if his life is spared by God so that he is not killed by his persecutors, he will continue to keep God's words as he had done in the past. We can see from this confession how deeply the psalmist longed for the grace of the word. We can also confirm this longing in verse 135 as well. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Make your face shine on your servant is not different from the confession found in verse 130, which says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. If we open the Bible, God's words, we can encounter the Lord who is the light of the word. That the light of the word is shining upon me means that the face of the Lord who is shining upon me. It is meeting the Lord who speaks to me with the word. When the Lord, who is the light of the word, speaks as we open the words, we can learn God's decrees or the will of the Lord. Verse 135 also shows us that the mercy the psalmist asks from God is not only about saving himself from the persecutors. Even in a situation where he could die because of the threats from his persecutors, the psalmist longed to learn the words of God. Therefore, the grace that the psalmist is asking for is not for him to enjoy riches and glory, or to revenge his enemies, or to avoid death from at the hands of his persecutors, but to receive the grace of the Lord. Grace of the word. He believed that it is grace from God that his steps can be established firmly on the word and not fall into any sin, and to keep his word. He believed that opening the word of God, receiving the light of the word, and to learn them is the mercy of God. Through the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 17, we can know that the word of God is the very grace that God gives to us. Apostle Paul confessed that, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. The calling that Apostle Paul received from the Lord is to testify about the gospel. The gospel is the word of the Lord. Apostle Paul testifies that this gospel is the good news of God's grace. This lets us know that the gospel, the word of God itself, is the blessing. We cannot live without the grace of God. We cannot live even a moment without it. In the same way that a person cannot live without air, a believer is someone who cannot live without the grace of God, the Word. A person who is within the Word is a person who is within the grace of God. And a person who is within the grace of Word is the person who is within the Lord. And to a person who is in the Lord, there is never any condemnation. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2 testifies to this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The reason that the Lord came to this earth is to liberate us from sin and for us not to be under the control of sin. On this first Sunday of Advent, we who are hoping for the return of the Lord must dwell within the Lord who is the Spirit. By worship offered in spirit and truth, we must dwell in the Lord. And further, we should not be satisfied with doing only that. We must guide those who are outside of the Word to the Lord. The calling of Apostle Paul is our calling. Our calling also is to deliver the gospel, the Word, by the way we live. Apostle Paul did not stop with receiving grace, but lived as a person who received grace for the Lord. This is from Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. I have said in the beginning, to treasure the name of the Lord is to treasure the Lord. To treasure the Lord means to deliver the light of the Word to those who have not yet received the Lord, so that they will believe in the Lord and obey his word. We also must live as pathways of grace who deliver the grace of the Lord that we have received to others in the world. As Apostle Paul reveals in Romans, the reason that the believers in Rome came to believe in the Lord is due to people like him who became pathways of grace. This is from Romans chapter 1, verse 6. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. If we lead someone to believe in Jesus by becoming pathways of grace, it testifies to the fact that we are people who have genuinely received grace. This is the message that our members who are commemorating and honoring, hoping in the return of the Lord on this first Sunday of Advent, should deeply reflect on. If we, although we hope for the return of the Lord, do not pass on the Lord's grace to those who do not know him, we will need to reflect on whether we have properly received the grace of the Lord. What we ought to do as persons who have received the grace of the Lord is to become pathways that pass on the grace of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to this earth so that we are under grace and not under sin and death. Help us to reflect deeply on why the Lord came to this earth, why he died on the cross, why he resurrected and is now seated on the right hand of God, and why he must return soon during the season of Advent. May we then come to know the grace that we should seek amidst the present difficulties and seek that grace. Allow us to be persons who seek grace, not for the sake of revenge, escaping hardships, his or her name, benefits, health, or honor, but seek grace that establishes the steps one takes firmly on the word, the grace like Solomon and Psalmist, grace that prevents us from falling into sin, grace that allows ever even deeper knowledge of the word, grace in which we encounter the Lord who speaks with the word. Like Apostle Paul, allow us, as people who have received grace and calling, to live as pathways of the grace who delivered the word to others with the way we live and thereby lead them to the Lord. Allow us to become people of the Lord to commemorate the birth of the Lord and live in the great hope of his return. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.